This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
This morning, service. Our scripture reading will be taken from the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. That's where we're going to be taking our scripture reading from. Luke chapter 15. If you've got your Bible, or if you've got the church Bibles, Luke chapter 15. And we'll be looking at a very familiar portion of scripture, and that's the parable of the lost son. But what we're going to do this morning for the few minutes that we've got is, I'm looking at a message I've chosen to title, Taking Spiritual Inventory. And that's what I'm going to be looking at this morning, Taking Spiritual Inventory, which is part of a series of messages I've been preaching ever since we crossed over to the new year. And that is looking into our lives and asking ourselves questions. And not just asking those questions, but preparing ourselves for what's to come for the future. And I think this is something good we have to do. If you remember, I spoke to us on not looking back when we cross over to the new year. I also spoke on what really makes the new year a happy one for us, for those who have seen 2015. And so what we are looking at this morning is taking a spiritual inventory. And we are looking at Luke chapter 15, and I'll read from verse 11, which is the parable of the lost son. In Luke chapter 15, if you come to verse 11, the scripture says, this is Jesus. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he says, and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions. He says, with prodigal living. Some translations will say with riotous living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He says, make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat, he says, and be merry. For this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. And Lord, we ask this morning that you will speak to us from these verses of scripture. And as we take spiritual inventory, Lord, show us areas of our lives. For some of us, it might be a real homecoming. But for others, it might be to look inwards and to examine whether we are still in the faith. Thank you for your presence here to bless and to minister to each one, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, Luke 15, verse 11, the parable of the lost son, as we have it in our church Bibles, is a very popular parable that Jesus Christ told. And the thing about parables, as we've been looking at, for those who have been coming to our Thursday Bible studies, we've been going through a series of studies on the parables. And some people will see parables as those simple earthly stories, but have got heavenly meanings. But for us, it's not just about being an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is much more than that. What Jesus does is that he picks a story. And sometimes these stories are familiar to the hearers. And then Jesus begins to draw out and explain through those stories spiritual realities that we as Christians may have to think deeply about. And I also did mention to us on our Thursday meeting that parables, actually the one we have in the Bible, are split up into about three of them. Those that you would call similitudes. For instance, Jesus saying the kingdom of God is like. Now that is a similitude. He's likening the kingdom of God to something. And then you have those one-liners, parabolic sayings as we'll call them. Like you don't put a new garment on an old piece of garment. Things like physician, heal yourself. And we looked at these things extensively. These are what we call parabolic sayings. And then you have the full stories or the full parables that you have in the scripture. And this one we have in Luke chapter 15 actually falls within the full parables. Because it's like a story that Jesus is telling. But he has an intention in telling this story to get across something to the people that he was speaking to from Luke chapter 15. And what Jesus is trying to get at here, if you are familiar with the story, right from verse 1, is a parable about lost things being found. You have the parable of the lost sheep, you have the parable of the lost coin, and then you come to verse 11, that's where we're looking at this morning, where you have the parable of the lost son. And in each one of these stories, the central theme is something was lost and something has been found. But verse 11 of Luke chapter 15 is very important to us. Because if you think of it, you've got the parable of the lost sheep. Now, we can say in a way that we are not sheep. I mean, we can liken ourselves as Christians to sheep. At the same time, we can say, well, I'm not a coin, a lost coin. But we can get the message of what Jesus Christ is getting at. But then he drives it home by saying to us, this is another parable here. And this is a parable of the lost son. Is a parable that captures the essence of forgiveness, the essence of a child coming home to the father, the essence of grace and mercy, the essence of someone having sinned against his father, having wanted his own way, but the father still went ahead and forgave him and brought him back home. So, but look at this scripture again in Luke chapter 15. Because this prodigal did something, and this is where my message is centered on this morning, and that is inventory, taking spiritual inventory, looking at our lives and asking ourselves very important question. If you remember in Luke chapter 15, the Bible tells us clearly from verse 11 that this man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And his father divided it and gave it to him. And then from verse 15, he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country. And we saw what happened. From verse 17, he came to himself. And this is where I'm getting to. He came to himself and he said, and this is where the journey began for this young man. He went away from the father. But the time came, Bible says that he came to himself. And that is what I call inventory time. For those of us, or maybe for those that are in business, when you hear that word inventory, you know what that means. It's a time when a businessman must take time to count his possessions, must take time to look into his business to see whether he has made profit or he has made a loss. And that was exactly what this young man did. The Bible said he came to himself. He must have looked inwards. He must have counted. He must have reasoned within himself. He must have taken some kind of inventory. And it was obvious to him that he was at a loss. But before we talk about the loss and what happened to him, the question we need to be asking is what led him to this state where he encountered such a great loss. Just like I said, if you're in business and you encounter loss at the end of the financial year, you don't just carry on in the next year and say, well, things ought to carry on the same way. It's always gone on. Once someone said that the real definition of madness is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And nobody does that. I'll do the same thing and I expect a different result. The same thing with this young man we have in this parable. He wasn't doing the same thing and was expecting a different result. A time came. He came to himself. He looked inwards. He asked himself some crucial questions. He saw what could have been, but he looked within himself and saw that he was at a great loss. And so what we want to do is to see what brought him to this state of great loss, and then we can see what he did or what we are supposed to do if we are to take real spiritual inventory of our lives. And the first thing we see is you go to verse 11 and verse 12 of Luke chapter 15. And the first thing you see that brought this young man great loss, and I think that as we reflect over our lives, these are the things that we need to be thinking about. Are we making the same mistakes that this young man made? Or do we know people who are doing the same and making the same mistakes that this young man made that brought him to such a loss? And the first thing is that this young man thought only of material possessions. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 12. He says, and the younger of them said to his father, he said, Father. Now, mind you, the word father there, as he used it, is not a word for to respect, to show respect for his father. Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So his father, of course, divided it and gave him what he needed. In other words, the man divided to them his livelihood. And perhaps I think this is one of the most tender stories that Jesus Christ ever told, because he shows us the grief that the father had to go through just to do what he did. We are talking about livelihood. To put this story to us in context, for at the time or for the normal Jewish laws and traditions, it's uncalled for a man while he's still alive to divide his possessions and give it to the children. So when the son went to him and said, Father, divide these goods and give me what falls to me, this boy was actually saying to his father, it's as good as you being dead. So I want you to catch the picture, what Jesus Christ is getting at. And that is the spirit which with this boy went to the father. He was looking forward to a day when he will spend and all things will be well, but forgetting that someday a part of all these things that he had already claimed will be his will bring him greater sorrow than the joy that he had expected. And this is the beginning point of every spiritual loss. This is the beginning point of every downfall of most people living in our society today. And it is that spirit that says, I can find independence apart from God. I don't need to be accountable to anyone. And this is what this young man did in this parable. Maybe he got fed up of the rules and regulations of being at home. Maybe he got fed up of being watched over. Maybe he got fed up of being told what to do, of being having to live to fulfill the expectations of his father. And so he saw something better out there. He said, well, this is what belongs to me, and I want it right now. And that is why I said that the request that this young man made indicates a state of mind from which every kind of sin that most people will ever commit, that is where it starts from. A spirit of independence from God. And as we've crossed over to 2015, and I think that's where we need to start. Do we have that spirit that is constantly trying to pull away from God, trying to seek independence from God? I'm sick and tired of reading the scriptures, of being told by God's word how I have to live my life. The Bible tells us, if you remember in the book of Psalms, that the word of God is not just a light to our feet, but a light also to our path. But the enemy comes in, speaks into our hearts, and begins to entice and say to us, you know what, you can live a life apart from God. You can live a life that is out there, something that is more exciting and that is more vibrant in your spirit. But this young man never thought that what he thought would give him greater joy will one day give him great sorrow. And so he approached his father and said, Dad, divide inheritance for me. Now, according to their law as well, for those who are familiar with this scripture, him being the younger son, he would have only had one third of the inheritance. And the elder brother would have had about two-thirds of the inheritance. And so what he was asking for, yes, we know that that could be was his. But at the same time, in terms of the love that he had living with the father, in terms of the protection that he had, in terms of the relationship that he shared with his father, what could be more than that? If you go back to Genesis, and that was the beginning of the fall of man, God made them, gave them everything, put them in that beautiful garden, and said, everything is yours, just like this young man. Everything that the father had also belonged to him. But what did the devil say to the woman? He said, "Has God said?" And he painted this beautiful picture of what could be. This can make you wise. If you eat of it, this is what will happen. You will not die. And the very thing that looked appealing to the woman, that was the very thing that brought about their downfall and brought judgment upon the whole of the human race. And that is where we need to start taking that spiritual inventory. Are we thinking in every decision that we make in life only about material possession? What is it that drives the choices that you make? What is it that drives or is at the center or at the heart of every action that you are going to take in 2015? Remember, when you go through the Bible, this young man is not the only one who sought for meaning in things that couldn't satisfy. Remember in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you begin to read from verse 12, all through from verse 12 going down to chapter 2, you see Solomon also in his quest and search for meaning in life. And what did Solomon say? He said that he has sought for meaning in possessions. He couldn't find it. He married almost 700 wives and 300 concubines. It never brought him satisfaction. He sought it in travel, in knowledge, in all kinds of things, all in an attempt to find satisfaction, all in an attempt to find meaning apart from God. But that never happened. Also, again, if you go to Luke chapter 18, go with me please to Luke chapter 18, and let's see another scripture in Luke chapter 18. If you go to Luke chapter 18, I want you to see from verse 18 to 25, and you see something there, Luke chapter 18 from verse 18, and this is Jesus speaking to a rich young ruler. You can see that this man had wealth, he had possession, and he came to Jesus. Look at verse 18 of Luke chapter 18. It says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good?' He says, 'No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these I have kept from my youth.'" Verse 22, "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then you come and follow me.'" Look at verse 23. "But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." Can you see how the decision he made based on his material possession affected the spiritual outcome? And that's how it is for many in our world today, not just in our churches. The decisions are being made based on the material possession. If I can have it and damn my soul, it means absolutely nothing to me. And we see that also in the life of this young man. And sometimes that is what our lives may be saying to God. You may not be the prodigal son, but by the choices that you're making, or by the way that you're living your life, or the way that you know some people are living their lives, all they are saying to God is, "I want my share of goods. I will neglect the Bible to get them if necessary. I will break every rule that is acceptable if just to get what I want." And so when we read the story, it connects with us in so many ways. Like I said, you may not be the prodigal. And you say, well, he went to his father and asked his father, "Give me my inheritance. I haven't done that to my earthly father." But your heavenly father, like I said, that could be what the life that we are living is saying to God every single day. "God, I want my share of the goods. And whatever it takes to get it, I will get it." And taking spiritual inventory in the new year starts from having that right priority by saying to yourself, "Yes, I know that everything that God has, he is giving them to me." Remember, the Bible in the book of Ephesians tells us that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. In other words, those things that we run after, those things that we want to have and get by all means, they are actually ours. But God is saying, let that relationship be strong. Let that closeness, let that bond that exists between a father and a son, let it not be broken. Remember what Jesus Christ said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. In other words, when we please the Father, when we draw near to him, when we live for him, God knows exactly what we need. Just like the Father knew exactly what his son needed or wanted. But this son said to his dad, I'm sick and tired of waiting. I want my own thing. I want my own way. And I want it now. The spirit of rebellion that we see in the lives of many, even in the churches today. Go with me now to verses 13. And you see something unfolding in verse 13. Because not only did this young man think only of his material possessions, and you see it goes further than that. If you go to Luke chapter 15, look at verse 13. He says, this is after the goods had been divided. It says, and not many days after, the younger son, he gathered all together and he journeyed to a far country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But then something happened. There arose a famine in that land and he began to be in want. Now what you see there is that the second thing, that he thought only of his flesh. Not only is he thinking about the things that he will get, but he was also thinking about his flesh. And that is the sole reason why he was trying to get what he wanted. So I can spend it on that kind of, like I said, some translations will say riotous living. He wasted his substance. The very thing that his father held on to, the very thing that was dear to his father, this young man wasted it. Because he thought that by getting away to a far country, he's gotten his independence, and so he could do what he wanted. Now, I'm sure that that paints a picture of almost every spirit of rebellion and independence. When we pull away from God and establish our own independence, what happens? It leads to waste. It leads to great waste, even in the life of that person. And I'm sure that this young man maybe must have thought that getting away from his father will be the solution to all his problems. Or getting away to a far country where no one will see him, where he will not be held accountable to anyone, will be the solution for his problem. And I think the same thing is applicable even to many today. Haven't you known people or seen people who thought that by getting away from home will be the solution to their problem? Or maybe by moving to another country will be the solution to the problem. And the same problem that dug them from one place is still there in the second. Or even maybe changing churches. If I move to another church, somehow there's this spiritual thing that happens and explodes, and then my soul will become blessed. But God may be saying to us that what you're looking for out there may actually be at home. As they always say, the grass looks greener on the other side. But he went, he wasted his substance, his life, as the scripture says, in riotous living. I love the way another translation put it. It actually, this was his senior brother saying this, that he actually wasted it with prostitutes. So you can imagine, put that in context, what his father had worked for. And sometimes that's what we do, even in our lives. The very gift that God has given us to be used for the kingdom of God, to bless the lives of people, that is what we waste on things that God hates. And on things that never brings a great blessing to the heart of God. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, there you will see the cry of the flesh. Because that's what was calling this boy. His father was back home, beckoning and waiting for him to come. But the pull and the cry of his flesh was far stronger than whatever that the father was saying for him to come back home. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and you're going to see in Ephesians chapter 2, the picture that Paul paints to the Ephesian Christians. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's start from verse 1 so we can get a feel of what the scripture says there. It says, and you, this is you, everyone who has come to know Jesus Christ, he made alive. He said, who were dead in trespasses and sins, that was before. He said, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Do you see the spirit? When you see disobedience, when you see rebellion, there's something at work there. It's not just that maybe I chose to do this. Yes, you may have chosen, but then that's the spirit we are talking about, the spirit of the age, who now walks in the sons of disobedience. And look at verse 3. It says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And he said, and we are by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And you can see that is whom we used to be before we gave our life to Christ. The spirit of rebellion, the spirit that says, I can live my own life. I don't have to be accountable to the rules that God gives me or to do the things that God is calling me to do. And that was the same thing. That was the pull, the attraction for this young man. Not just was he thinking about the material possessions, but he was thinking solely about his flesh. What can satisfy my flesh? What can bring about that craving? What can quench the deepest craving of his spirit and his soul? And he found it in the life of those prostitutes that he went to. But the story isn't over there. If you go to verse 17 of Luke chapter 15, I want you to look at Luke chapter 15. And like I said, this is where the inventory actually begins. In Luke chapter 15, 17, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, I'd like to stop there. When he came to himself, some translations will say not just when he came to himself, but when he came to his mind. That means that he was actually beside himself. Or you can put it literally, this young man was mad. He'd lost his mind. He wasn't thinking straight. And that's what happens when a man wants to live a life of independence apart from God. It's literally like living the life of a man who has lost his mind. But when he came to himself, he now began to reason. He knew the life that was meant to be his. He knew he who was called to be. He knew what kind of a son that he should be. And that is inventory. He was looking inwards, seeing the loss that he had encountered. And he now began to think and said, you know what? Life ought to be more than this. Is this the way that I'm called to live my life? It's just like I remember before I gave my heart to the Lord. And it came to a time, I remember the day I gave my heart to the Lord. And this was one of the things that was going on in my heart and in my spirit. Because sometimes I sit and I ask myself questions, said, why am I living the way that I'm living? Maybe at the time God was walking and speaking into my spirit and into my heart. Why am I living the way that I'm living? There ought to be a better life than this. There ought to be a life better than the life of disobedience and rebellion. And a life apart from God. There ought to be a life of peace and unity with my Maker and my Creator. And the Bible says that this man came to himself. And that tells you that true life, when we talk about life or living life, true life is life that is lived. And this is the way I define it. Not in gratification of self. Let's gratify the sexual appetites and desires. But in subordination to God and in communion with our God. That is true life. Not a life that is lived apart from God, but a life that is lived in subordination to God, in communion to God, and in real fellowship with God. And look at what this man did. The Bible says, now he said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants, he says, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Look at verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He says, make me like one of your hired servants. Do you know what I love about this portion I just read to you now? That this young man did not ignore his loss, just like some people are doing today. They can look inwards and they know exactly where the problem is. They know exactly what has gone wrong, but they rather ignore it. And by ignoring it, they are simply excusing themselves. And this is what, like I said, what people do. This young man could have said, well, I'm hungry and I'm feeding pigs. Well, every other person is. People are doing that. What's wrong with feeding pigs and being hungry? He could have said to himself, well, I know I'm far away from the Father and I'm not close to him, but there are countless thousands and millions of others who are also far away from their fathers and doing nothing about it. He could have looked at himself and said, well, I've spent all my living on riotous living. on Hallows. Well, there are lots of others who are also doing the same thing. This young man never did that. But what he did, he never excused himself, but he did something positive. He said, I will now do something to remedy the loss. And that is the problem, because some Christians excuse their spiritual misery by thinking that everybody else is in the same boat, just as they are. But the truth is that when you look inwards and you see that you're not all that you have to be, or all that God has created or made you to be, that should call you to act upon that conviction that you have got. And so this man said, I will arise and go to my father. A great realization that I am a son and I've been away from my father. Though I've been feeding pigs, though I've been in a place where I shouldn't have been, remember that feeding pigs was one of the worst jobs that a Jew can ever get himself involved in, because pigs, as we knew them, were abominations to the Jews. But this man came to a point where he knew he was doing what he should not be doing. He was bringing shame to his father, that he needed to go back to the father's love. And he made that great resolution, and I will arise and go to my father. And I love the way the story ends. Look at verse 20 there. He says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Can you see the longing of the father? Though the son was very far away, but the father saw him even when he was still far away. And that shows you that the father has been longing for this child to come back home. The father has been stretching out. His heart has been going out just for his son who has been away. And he said he saw him and had compassion. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now Jesus is just speaking words here that will connect with his hearers. Because in the Jewish community at the time, it is very strange, or it is not actually acceptable for an old man to run. But you see him here, Jesus saying, this man, this old man, elderly man, ran towards the son. It's sons that run towards their father. But this man took the initiative. He ran, went, and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And that shows you amazing grace. That shows you the depth of forgiveness. That shows you that God wants to reconcile and to bring you back to himself. God is saying that forgiveness awaits all who come to God through Jesus Christ. And that might be the message for some of us in this new year. That God is saying, you need to come back home. When you take spiritual inventory, you've seen what you've lost. Or you've seen in the areas where you have failed God repeatedly over and over again. And God may be saying to you, now is the time to come back home. And look at verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Look at what verse 22 says. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, conferring the status of sonship back upon him. He says, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son, very crucial verse, was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. It shows you that everything that this young man that we are looking for is in Christ Jesus. If you are lost, Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you are confused and ignorant, Jesus is saying, I am the way. I will show you how to walk. And if you are dead, Jesus Christ again says, I am the life and the resurrection. And this is the message. Take spiritual inventory. Look at the areas where you have failed or disappointed the expectation of the Father. Come to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to accept you as this young man did, as a son. But I love what that boy said. If you look at it, I don't know how many of us noted this. He said, I am not even worthy to be called your son. But he says, make me like one of your hired servants. He was willing to do that. But because the father knew that he couldn't do that to him, because he is a son, if he makes him a servant, that means he's working to become a son. And the same thing, you can't do anything to earn the grace of God. It has been freely given. God has already called you as a son. All he's saying is stay in the family. Put your faith and your trust in him, and he will truly bless you as you walk with him. Shall we just bow our hearts and commune with him for just a few seconds in our heart this morning?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.